The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And this is Anton in for Kieran on The Hard Shoulder. Some of the world's most popular tourist spots are also some of the spots that have seen the worst atrocities in human histories. Auschwitz, the killing fields in Cambodia are just some cases in point. And the more that people visit, the more that you hear complaints from those responsible for the sites or the area around saying that behaviour is inappropriate. Things like the taking of selfies in areas where awfulness has previously happened. Travel journalist Fionn Davenport joins me now. Fionn, for that kind of thing, first of all, is it ethical for people to want to take vacations in spots where people have been murdered?
I don't know that it's specifically because you want to go to a place where people have been murdered, but the two examples you mentioned are actually very good. So Auschwitz and the killing fields of Cambodia, the museum in Phnom Penh, like, these are important centers, and nobody would say you shouldn't go visit these places, but you should go and carry with you a sense of responsibility towards the atrocities that happened there. So, as you said, like, if you're showing up at Auschwitz and you're there really just to populate your Instagram feed with selfies of yourself, then you are behaving not just irresponsibly, with you're denigrating the memories of those that died there. But if you go, because the whole idea of traveling to Auschwitz, certainly in a European context, but also, say, traveling to the killing fields of Cambodia in an Asian context, it's to forever be reminded of man's inhumanity to other men. And so it's an important cautionary tale and a lesson to us all about what happens when we let extremism take hold. And
but so, in a way, though, Fionn, maybe I do you a disservice by giving you such extremes, because if you ever spend any time in Amsterdam, if you go past the Anne Frank House, one of the defining characteristics of that location is people smilingly taking pictures of themselves in front of a house where a girl and her family were removed to be murdered.
Sure, but I mean, this is also a part of history, you know, and so it has his, like, for example, should you not go to the Duomo in Florence because, you know, Lorenzo de Medici's brother was savagely murdered there in 1492? I'm just throwing in a little historical detail.
Or Kilmaine in jail by virtue of what happened.
Kilmaine in jail, so that's absolutely a really good point. Or, and staying close to home, Anton, Titanic Belfast is the most popular museum now in the city. But for the longest time, the most popular tourism activity to do is to take a black taxi tour of West Belfast, you know, and they still do. And, you know, the idea of going up the falls and down the Shankill and the Peace Wall. And you know, human nature is that we both have a prurient interest in the kind of the darker side of our history. But we also, We like the idea, because this is, I hate to say it, but it's interesting. It's just interesting. I mean, in kind of traditional terms, the term disaster tourism is like saying showing up in Thailand immediately after the tsunami, or showing up in New Orleans immediately after Katrina just to have a gawp at, like, what flooding can do, you know? But visiting areas, I mean, there is a sense, it's kind of part of our nature to go to places that are different from those that we experience in our everyday lives. And you could broaden this, you can broaden the case and say, look, travel to the third world is ethically kind of compromising, because as Paul Theroux, in one of his grumpier moments, said once upon a time, he said something about, like, one of the main reasons why we travel to India is to feel better about ourselves when confronted by, like, the horrific poverty that you see, certainly both in the big cities and in rural parts of the country. And which is a very cynical way of seeing things. But at the same time, is that I don't see how that's entirely different. You know, I'll be cruel to myself, but playing kind of poor hippie for a few weeks while looking to find myself in India is ethically kind of weird, you know, in many ways.
But presumably it is also advantageous to the places in which you do it, whether it be disaster tourism or third world or developing world tourism. Because, I mean, case in point, if we go back far enough in time so we don't offend anybody, Pompeii is a huge source of tourism for southern Italy, but it is nothing if not a human horror show made real.
Absolutely. And And so when you walk around the ruins of Pompeii and you see the cast models, because the real ones are in the museum in Naples, but the cast models of people, you know, frozen in time by the molten ash, it's really quite an arresting sight. So, you know, it really is quite something to behold. Ultimately, it comes down to this. You take personal responsibility for the attitude that you bring to these destinations, whether it's Auschwitz or, well, Pompeii, perhaps less so, but Killing Fields of Phnom Penh, India, or anywhere in the third world, or anywhere, like, for example, but here's another thing. It's like, for example, when Haiti suffered that terrible earthquake all those years ago, it's like there wasn't a rush of tourism to go and just have a gulp. I mean, there was a rush of people trying to help, etc. So ultimately, you know, I don't know that disaster tourism is really kind of the big issue that some would claim it is. I think that when you read newspaper stories about idiots who show up at Auschwitz to take selfies, I think what it does is it kind of explodes the notion for a little while in the media. But these people are dealt with on site, you know, and they go very much against the grain of, I would argue, 99.9% of all visitors to places like Auschwitz, you know, who go with that sense of respect, that sense of duty towards the memory of those who died there.
And can I ask you about one film? Because oddly, with the Killing Fields or with Auschwitz, I can slightly understand the motivation for people to say,
sure,
I've read about this and I want to understand the physicality of the location. What about the 9/11 memorial in Manhattan? Because that's not the same as its historical context that I otherwise can't imagine. People will have been in downtown New York. So what of that, of going to see just the location where people were killed?
Well, I mean, having been there myself a couple of times, I find it both very moving, very arresting, and incredibly popular. I mean, when you see the snaking queues of people lining up to go into the museum, it's an incredibly moving experience, and it serves the exact same purpose as the memorial at Auschwitz, as the memorial in Phnom Penh. It's to never forget what happened here. And it's done with great sensitivity to the memory of those who died. And I think it's important that these places exist. I think it's important that we visit these places, because it's not just, it's tourism, you know, it's not going on holidays, or it's travel as a form of education, travel as a form of enriching your life, travel as a form about learning something. And like, I don't mean that travel is just going to school abroad. I don't mean that. But it's not just lying on a beach and just with a book and drinking a margarita, although oftentimes it can be very much that. I think places like the 9/11 Museum and that whole site is very, very important. And New York supports that, I would say, almost in its entirety. There's a really strong sense that this is an incredibly important place, and we and it's sacred ground for people there. And it should be treated as such. But I would strongly encourage people to go. Absolutely. I think it's an important site.
When you have been there, what way do people behave?
Very well. I mean, look, it's the one thing that I have issue with, and when my wife and I, we were there, we were quite struck by the hawkers that were selling T-shirts and hats and snow globes and whatever, you know. But, you know, that's the nature of commerce in the global world. But generally, for the huge amount of people, they go, they speak in hushed tones, they look at all the artifacts. There's a sense that the shimmering pool with all the names on the footprint of one of the towers is a really, really moving place. And when you see, you could be standing next to just a tourist, a casual tourist who's there kind of having a look, or you could be standing, as happened to me, as someone who lost a family member and you don't know. And so they might be tracing on paper, much like, for example, in the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., you see this almost daily, is that relatives of those who died will trace their name on a piece of paper with a bit of pencil or charcoal. And Anton, honest to God, it would bring tears to your eyes to see it happen. It's incredibly moving. And I think that is worth it, in the sense of, like, it reminds you, it connects you to the place and makes you realize what terrible things did happen there.
Text saying, in Ireland, we don't really have it. It's not like anyone is posing beside famine graves. Well, I've seen people posing beside famine houses, but I'm still really conscious of it in foreign countries. And just an example of the types of things. And again, it's probably not that people are doing it willfully, but just without consideration. Text saying, I've seen people taking smiling selfies at the Jewish monument in Berlin and taking videos of themselves hopping between the blocks like it was a TikTok. It made my blood run cold. Interesting topic, Fionn. Thank you very much for coming on this evening. That is Fionn Davenport, Irish travel journalist and travel expert.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.